Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you. To all generation, to Israel when they passed the Red Sea at Passover, and to the disciples, oh God, that we must always remember this day, remember this season, that we don't forget what you have done. So Father, we thank you. And as we remember the power of the blood and the life in resurrection, Father, I pray that you remember us. Father, your mercy, let us not leave this place the way we came, but let your resurrection power have effect in our lives. By the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God knows the end from the beginning because he's the creator. So before the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt, God told Abraham, in other words, I know the future. And he told them they will come out of Egypt. And this season, prophetically from the Hebraic calendar, is the beginning of what they call the new year, the real beginning of God's calendar. That was 400 years from Abraham, the children of Israel were in captivity. 4,000 years from Adam, God also promised there would be a manifestation of the Lamb that was slain. Amen? And what was a shadow in the Old Testament became a reality. God himself became flesh and through his blood redeemed man from 4,000 years of captivity. So, every time we come to seasons like this, whether be it when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, or we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, these are windows of memorials, or we celebrate Pentecost, or we celebrate Passover or Resurrection, I always ask the Lord to help me not to allow these seasons just pass by as a memorial, but more as an experience that will help me go to the next level. So this morning, I'm praying the same for you. Every one of us, We have to make room to grow. No man can experience God and not have room for more growth. Amen? Amen. The Bible says also, the word of the Lord says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So, these are my new friends. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. So, as you hear the word of the Lord this morning, What that means is God is awakening faith in you to believe what the Spirit is saying to you. It is when you believe that what you believe, God will begin to activate it in your life. Because without faith, it's impossible to access breakthroughs. Amen? But faith without response, action, is in vain. And that's what's called belief. Nothing is impossible when you believe. So the Spirit of the Lord is here. God is in this place to walk, to perform, to demonstrate the Spirit of His Word. So if you hear by the Spirit, and let faith be activated in you, and respond to what you're hearing by however way you and the Lord commune this morning as you respond, so that you will receive the next level. Amen? Amen. So in asking the Lord, I was, and what do I need to learn? And God really blessed me. And part of that blessing is what I want to share with you. And I pray that it will not be words just to you. The reason for this season is the whole reason man was created. It's for the whole reason God became flesh. This season, Paul says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then our religion is vain. Everything else is the same way. So the resurrection is the cornerstone, is the hallmark for why Christianity is the only way to heaven, is the only access to the kingdom of God. So I pray that God will speak to you as He has really spoken to my heart. So we're going to read a few scriptures, and I'll share with you the theme that He put in my heart. So let's open our Bibles together. And I pray you'll be able to take notes today, because I couldn't, it was a lot in my spirit. And you can take note whichever way. And I believe this is also on Facebook. It's recorded. Let's open to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read quickly. Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle, cunning, crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, yes, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Underline that word, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, against the word of God, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the Bible says the eyes of them both were open. My brothers and sisters, you can be very clear from the scripture, it wasn't talking about natural eyes, because they were already seeing things. But something opened up. Amen? First verse 6 says, when the woman saw that the tree, so she was seeing and hearing physically. Then he says in verse 7, the eyes of them both were open. They were not blind. But he said their eyes was open. Underline that. And they knew that they were naked. And they knew they were naked. Now their eyes was open, their spiritual eyes. And they, listen to this, underline this. And they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves apron, to cover their nakedness in a human way. That's what every religion does. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. And the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden, the presence. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And Adam responded, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. And I hid myself. Verse 11. And God said, he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? For time, we'll just go quickly to 21. In verse 21, God said unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats, tunics, coats from animal skin, and clothed them. Everybody say, clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. He knows good and evil now, lest he put forth his hands and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth out of the garden. They were kicked out. Amen. Sent him forth out of the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24. So he drove out the man out of the garden, and he placed him at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Please turn with me. It's very important to read this together. Open to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 15, we read from, really quickly, read from verse 11. And Jesus was ministering, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after then, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, fleshly living. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and it began to be in want, became needy. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. Verse 16. And he would gladly have filled his belly with the corrupt pods, pigs eat, the hogs, that the swines did eat, for no man gave unto him. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, everybody say came to himself. Amen. He said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18. I will arise. Everybody say resurrection. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Confession. Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose. Everybody say restoration power. And came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Fast forward to the end, verse 31. The father again said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was necessary, it was important that we should celebrate, make merry, and be glad. For this thy brother was dead. Listen, he wasn't physically dead. He was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Father, glorify your name. Open our eyes to see, ears to hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you this morning what God put in my heart about the three major provisions of restoration. The three major provisions of restoration. This day is Resurrection Sunday. We can live and live and never understand as believers what God has given to us. So three major provisions of resurrection. And the three of them, I want you to look back in your Bible. Luke 15, verse 22. The three things the Lord wants me to share with you. Everybody say the robe, the ring, and the shoes. I want to talk to you today about the robe, the ring, and the shoes. The robe, the ring, and the shoes. That's what God provides when we are born again, when we come back. From the scripture we read in Genesis, we all are very much aware that that was not where it started. It started with two people God created as his own children, and God clothed them with his glory. They didn't have to do any work. Everything was provided. They just have to maintain and be stewards of what God has provided. They were covered in the glory of God. They were given power and dominion, meaning authority, to administer, to rule over God's affairs in the earth. And they walked with God in the garden. Something happened. And when that happened, from the story we read, from the testimony, something happened. And they lost the covering. And their eyes were open after the covering left. And they found out they were naked. Then the next thing, because they did not repent, they lost their authority, the dominion. As people, God has given a royal stewardship of the earth. And then the third thing, they were kicked out, walked away from God's presence. And banished from the garden. Hallelujah. The same enemy, the same devil that tricked them out of the provisions of heaven, out of the inheritance God gave to them, out of the place of abundance and blessing, the same enemy that tricked them out of that place is still alive today. So that enemy works with two different people now. That enemy is still working hard to keep people who have not even found salvation, who are not yet born again, who have not been saved in the world. That same enemy is still controlling them and keeping them as his captives. The same enemy on this right hand is still working in the church. And is working in the church and working, one, to blind and keep people from the reason they are born again, that they will never discover it. They will just remain religious, Christian. He's also working hard to continue to deceive and to, if possible, to cause those that are in church to fall away, just like he did with Adam and Eve. But the reason this message this morning is so important is so that God says our eyes of understanding will be opened so that we know what this day is about and what you have. The robe, the ring, and shoes. I will start with a little demonstration how the enemy works. Now, you all remember that the first verse is verse chapter 2. Adam and Eve were right here. They had everything. They had God's covering. They have everything they need in life. They didn't have to work for it. They just had to steward it. They had a happy marriage. Everything was great. And God was in their midst. They didn't know they were naked. They didn't know anything about it. But the Bible says the enemy is cunning. He's subtle. He will come to cause you to lose what you have. And not only to lose what you have, he doesn't tell you, the moment you lose what you have, you become a slave to him. So that's what happened. We call it the fall. The fall, two major things happened at the fall that led to them losing these three major things. First, they lost God. And when you lose God, you lose life. So basically, it says the soul that sinned shall die because they ate. So they were spiritually dead. When you are spiritually dead, your spiritual eyes, now that you're dead, you begin to see through the eyes of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You are now, your soul is now opened because you're a spirit, but now it's no more opened to purity, to righteousness. It's now opened to lust. And that's why every human being on the face of the earth that is not saved is in captive to lust and pride. So he didn't tell them that will happen. So let me first explain how the enemy did this so that by the time we finish, we'll understand why Jesus came when no man can help us. The enemy is still working very hard today. This is a hook. Amen?
Amen.
God has created everything that is created, and he created a habitation for them. The place God has created for you to dwell, there will always be provision there. There will always be protection. There will always be security. Everything God has made. That's why it says, look at the birds of the air. Well, as long as they are in their atmosphere, it says, I take care of them.
Jesus.
Look at the lilies, the grass. As long as they are in their place of habitation, he says they will blossom. So God created man for his presence because we're made in his image. So Satan knew that. So how do we understand this physically? The fish is created for waters. I was looking at a fish when God started speaking to me about this. Looking at the water, and I was watching the fish inside the water. They were swimming, were happy, they were going here, they'll go there, another one will come here, and other fish were swimming. They were designed, listen to this, to live inside the water forever, however long. That's not our dwelling place. If you go into that water, you don't have breathing, whatever thing. You can only go for 30 minutes, some of you maybe 5 minutes, some people maybe an hour. But you can't be there for more than an hour without a special mask. You die because you're not designed to live there. Man is not designed to live outside God's presence. So, that fish has all the food he wants in the water. If you go into that water as big as you are to kill that fish, you will die because his protection is there. He will just go like this and you're gone. So everything that fish has is right there. You can't get that fish out of the water. The only way for you to get that fish out of the water is to have this, the hook. So what do? We put a hook and we put a bait. Amen?
Amen.
If I do it that way, it will come. So that's how we tied it up. Amen? You're not the fish. So we sit there. I want to eat fish. I know I can't catch the fish. I want to take the fish out of his habitation. So I'll release it and I'll put that thing there and I'll just fling it. And I'll put something that the fish likes to eat. And I'll put it there. But I did not tell the fish there's a hook there. So you fling it and the fish is just enjoying himself, enjoying life. And he sees it. He goes like that and grabs it. And all of a sudden, the fish found out that he's being pulled away from his usual direction. He's in the water, but he's going somewhere else. He can't go where he normally goes until he comes to land. And he finds out, something has pulled me away from my habitation. So when the fish does that, you are in charge now. Amen? That's demonstration number one. Number two, I did a lot of work because the Lord taught me a lesson. If you want to catch a rat or a rabbit, I tried catching some rats in my attic. They were playing. They were very smart. So I went and bought this. I put peanut butter inside there. I found out the things rats likes to eat a lot. They like that. So we put it inside, but the rat did not know that there is a hook. There's a cage. So you set it up and it was open like that. And the rats will come. They are free. I can't catch them. I can't kill them. Free. They just disappear. Enjoying their life. Destroying things. So, you know, we are smart. And they created this. So I said it. And the rat was playing. So, and he comes. He just looks around, just sniffs, smells delicacy. And he goes and goes and he looks at it. And he goes inside. And after he goes inside, he's eating as he moves. Guess what? The rat, listen to me, it's a cage. Like the bird. It's like the bird. He's alive. The bird is alive. But I'm in control now. I can take him wherever I go and keep him alive there. You follow me wherever I go? The Bible says when we were in the world, we are being carried by the course of this world, by the prince of the power of the air, and we were running the course of this world without knowing it. He carries us everywhere we go. We are alive. We are eating. He will put in more food there, put bird's food there, but you can't fly anymore. You're not free anymore. You're caged. How did he get us there? Bait. So, that's so what happened is Adam and Eve were free. They had God. They had everything. They had power. They had dominion. And they were covered. But they started sensing something. The enemy was getting the attention. And he kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. Until they ate the bait. Until they went into the cage. And as soon as they entered into it, what we call the fall today The Bible is called it captivity. The fish is now out of its original habitation, outside of God's presence. When the fish is out of God's presence, he dies out of the water. So Adam and Eve, the absence of God, because they were created in the image of God, the life of God, the absence of God is death. Amen?
Amen.
The absence of God is darkness. And that's what Satan is. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if I should continue with it. I have a very important thing to share with you. Let me try. You can hear me? The absence of God, if you're made in the image of God, is death. The absence of God is darkness, even though you're still alive. So what are you alive to in the world before we all got saved? We are alive. Without God, somebody's dragging us wherever he wants to go. The God of this world. He lets us play and eat whatever, but he is the God of this world. Ephesians 2 says, in which the God of this world, he directs our course, the children of disobedience. So everybody you see out there, it doesn't matter whether they are queen or president, somebody has put them in a cage and they are fulfilling his counsel. No man could set us free because God is no more there. A few things happened in the garden when this happened. Everybody says their eyes was open. Now, you know they were not physically blind. So what were their eyes open to? Number one, it says they were what? Naked. Lost. Their eyes was open before, but there was no lust. But when they died, now they lost. Of the flesh and lust of their eyes. That's why till this day, pornography is the excessiveness. You look at the works of the flesh, is the extreme of the manifestation of lust, but it's there in every man if you don't conquer it. Pride is the nature of man because we're spiritually, God is not there. So, number one, they were naked. And then when they found out they were naked, listen to this. They sewed fig leaves. The word fig leaves or apron is to cover what? Their nakedness. Now, just so you know, nakedness in scripture from that context is basically sin, the exposure of sin, the manifestation of sin. It's like nakedness and sin in context are one. So they are trying to physically cover themselves. Before then, they were covered with God. So now, they are trying to cover themselves with apron. Every known religion on earth, that's what they're trying to do. It's called self-righteousness. And the Bible says it's filthy rags. Works of men. So they were naked. We became sin and we're trying to fix it in our strength. It's impossible. Then the next thing, they are trying to fix it in themselves and God says, where are you? All God was asking for, repent. Come back to me. Acknowledge your sin. Instead of acknowledging their sin, they started blaming everything else. And by doing that, they lost their authority, their position. And when they lost their position, they lost the presence, they lost their position, they are now, they are dead, they entered, they are now in darkness because they didn't repent. And because of darkness, they didn't repent, they lost their position. Guess what happened? I want you to pay attention. They were kicked out of the garden, the place of rest. Because now God says, you will work hard the rest of your life. The place where they used to walk with God, and God became not only their covering, became their security and their provision. They were walked out of that. The fish was pulled out. The rat or whomever the bird is now under somebody's control. No more free. That's the word bondage, captivity. Paul said, who can set me free from this? The things I want to do, I cannot. Who can set me free? So, how does this really, what the Lord is saying to us this morning, how do we really allow what God is saying to you bring freedom to us before we go to the next, the prodigal son? I want you to see that when they became naked and the glory of God lifted, they started seeing with a different eyes. Means they lost their identity. They were now a different kind of person. They were no more God's children under God's righteousness. They were now the children of the world, in whom the God of this world has blinded their righteous eyes and opened them to perversion and self-centeredness. So now they see everything through worldly eyes. So now they have a new identity. We call it the man of the flesh. And now flesh and blood cannot inherit or serve God. They now walk. They are now blind spiritually. They lost their identity. So now their walk is now fleshly, carnal, human, full of lust and pride. That's what we call flesh man. Amen?
Amen.
So we go to the next story. We call it the lost sons or the prodigal son. What happened with Adam and Eve is exactly what Jesus, the Lord, was now describing in many, many ways. It was more relating more to the Jews and the Gentiles. It was also relating to us as believers. It was relating to so many ways. But in the context of this Resurrection Day, the story we just read, it's about somebody who was living with the Father here. But this is what the Lord said. Now there's a lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And this person now is now asking the Father, give me this, give me that. It's time for me to do it my way, to live my life, to do it, to live away from you. So the son was given, these two sons were given all the stuff, and the son came to this place, and all the money he had, he was trying to fix something, he was trying to replace something that could not be humanly fixed. Money can't fix it. Sex can't fix it. Nothing in this world can fix it because it's spiritual. Void. Absence of God. So he tried everything, and then he finally lost everything, and still there was nothing. He was still empty. So while he was here, something happened to him. It's like a type and shadow of salvation. Came to his senses. He became aware. He got, it's like being born again. And then there was a call back home. So he says, I'm going back to my father's house. I don't care if to even be called a son. I just want to be in his presence. It doesn't matter I don't want the title. I don't want all the prayer. I don't want anything physical that makes me feel good. All I want is what I lost. My father's presence. And he came back to his father's house. And these three things are the provisions of a born-again Christian. Restoration. My brothers and sisters, these three things, based on this story of the prodigal son, the robe, the ring, and the shoes, are provision for every born-again Christian. And the only way that provision comes is that we are born again. Amen? Amen? What does it mean to be born again? Why did Jesus go to the cross? Jesus went to the cross because right here, Adam, the first Adam, has been cast off. He lost a covering. The robe, he lost his identity. He became human flesh. He no more walks with God. He lost all that. But what he really lost was a father. So what did he become? What is his new identity? An orphan. An orphan is somebody that does not, is born, but he doesn't know he has a father. So he lived the rest of his life looking for his father in many, many things. But the only love that can fill that void is a father's love. So, spiritually speaking now, no man can replace that. No man can become a father. Jesus is called no man your father. No man can fill that void that Adam and Eve lost. So Jesus came, God came in the flesh. Amen? Amen? And when he came in the flesh, listen to this. We are here with all our baggage and all our sin. Jesus came as the Son of God and came here. This is where the deliverance begins. This is where the freedom begins to come. Jesus is right here. We are in our sin, fallen and everything. And he's the Son of God. Listen to this. Jesus is born of God. He's clothed with the glory of God, the righteousness of God. Jesus has identity as, they say, who do you say I am? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that? Peter said, you are the Son of God. His identity is the Son of God. Not flesh, not this, not prophet, not that. Son of God. He has an identity as a son. And he came clothed with his glory. Now, he is walking as the Son of God, not as the Son of Man. Amen? And as he started operating in this whole thing, we saw the kingdom of God demonstrating the provisions of sons. Amen? So now, Jesus being all these things, this is what he did. He looked at us on this corner here. He says, spiritually speaking, you're naked. You're in darkness. You're poor. And you're in captivity. The God of this world is dragging you. He says, so I am going to exchange my life for your life. I am going to take your position and give you my position. So what did Jesus do? He came to the cross and he took our position. First, he became naked. The nakedness is a symbolism of sin. Adam and Eve, when their eyes opened, the eyes of sin opened, they found they were naked. So Jesus has to take that position both physically and physically. To describe our spiritual nakedness. The Church of Laodicea says you're naked, you're poor, you're miserable. He became naked on that cross, because, and then on that cross, he took the brunt of sin, the judgment that was upon sin. What was the judgment? He was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was separated physically. On that cross, he surrendered his authority. He laid down that authority he was given. He yielded to man, yielded to Satan. Do whatever you want to do. I surrender as your captive. I will suffer for them. I will die for them. So Jesus did that. And then we who were dead in trespasses, dead in sin, spiritually dead, he died in the flesh as an exchange. So he fulfilled everything that Adam and Eve became, that we became as sin. In exchange, he gave us his righteousness. In exchange, he gave us his life. In exchange, we share his Father now. In exchange, everything that we lost, that made us lost, and made us dead, he replaced. But spiritually. So now, when you receive Jesus, first you have to confess, I am a sinner. You can't blame it on that person, on that person. You go back to the way Adam was. You have to say, Father, I have sinned. I am a sinner. I did this wrong. I did that. I want your blood to cleanse me. Forgive me. That's when you receive cleansing. Now, to be more specific, what happened? What happened? Three things happen when we come back to the Lord, when we get born again, when we become Christian. The robe. The robe is the robe of righteousness. That nakedness Adam and Eve had, when we get born again, we're not talking physically now. That nakedness is now covered by the righteousness of God. We are now in Christ, the righteousness of God. That righteous standing with God again causes us to be recipients of the glory of God. It is not visible with human eyes, but the moment you're born again, you're born into an atmosphere of the kingdom of God. God becomes your Father once again. That rejection, fear, all those things that came with a fall and that loss of power, he told the prophet, he said, bring the robe, cover him. They covered him. Bring the ring. The moment righteousness is restored, you are now born again, you're a son of God. From that very moment, you have access back to the Father. You have access back to God. And when you have access back to God, have access as a son, you are now gained back identity. You are now the son of God. And as a son of God, and when you believe it, what I'm telling you now, you have authority restored. You have authority. You have authority over every power of the enemy. What does authority mean? Really quickly, you see, when somebody is driving, where is Marcus? All right. Marcus drives a semi-truck. Huh? He can be driving that semi-truck, but if a policeman stands, that semi-truck is very big, and just says, stop. That semi-truck is so big, and the policeman is just a simple person. He can run him down. He can just choose to just run over the policeman and just go. But the policeman does not have the power against a truck, but he has authority. He says, stop. It doesn't matter how big that truck is, he has to stop because he has the backing of a government and he has the power of that government because he has authority. David was not a match physically for Goliath, but David understood his identity. He was circumcised, he was a seed of Abraham. He knew that there is a government under the promise God gave to Abraham for circumcised people. He understood his identity, and based on that understanding of that, he says, you're coming to me in all your power, but I have the Lord behind me because I'm a child of God. He has authority. God fights for you when you know you are a child of God. You have the authority to say, God, deliver me. And it comes true. He says, in the name of Jesus, that's authority. I've given you authority to use my name. And when you use my name, the things that you cannot do, the power of heaven can do it. But you have to believe it. So, when you get born again, first, righteousness is restored. Two, you regain your identity. And that identity gives you authority. Amen? Now, when you have your authority, when you have your identity, you have your authority. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. It says, without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. The first thing he did to the prodigal son was clothe him. Righteousness. You are now my son. You're back. It says, you were lost. You were dead. Now you are alive again. He wasn't physically dead. Alive again. Why? I'm putting my robe upon you. You are now under my covering. I am giving you your ring now. You operate under my authority. Everything I have is yours, but you have authority to access it. Now, I'm putting a new shoes. You can't walk as a prodigal. You can't walk in the flesh. You walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Believers always think they are still who you see physically. Faith is when who you are spiritually becomes real to you. And everything you do is by the standard of the kingdom you represent. If all you do as a believer is the standard of the government of the world, the system, the culture, everything, you are still walking as a prodigal son. You are not accessing your new identity. And if you don't access your new identity and believe your new identity, you don't really operate as a kingdom child. Paul says you're still carnal. You can't overcome lust. You can't overcome these things. They are like, you see, you catch the wrath physically. They came out of Egypt, out of bondage. But this thing, if you don't operate kingdom ways, it's inside our heart. It's inside of you. A lot of people physically look great, but they are still caged on the inside. They are not free. You're not free. Even though you come to church, you have not accessing the liberty that comes by the Spirit of God. We come to church, but lust still has control. Lying still has control. All kinds of vices. The biggest one is a lot of people are still caged with fear. When God says, when you're born again, there's an exchange. You lose the spirit of fear and you adopt the spirit of freedom, spirit of sonship. You are still caged in bondage to your old image. You're still looking at yourself with, because I was this, I was that, I was, no. You have a new identity. You are the child of the Most High God by the blood of Jesus. You didn't earn it by keeping the Sabbath. You didn't earn it by the things you give. It was by the grace of God. It was Jesus dying for you. And he gave it to you. Not anything you do or you do. It was by his righteousness, by his blood, by his grace he gave it to you. So you can never set yourself free from those things on the inside. It is still that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's still that same grace you have to access to lose the power of lust, to lose the power of lying, to lose, you put the name there. If you're not free, he came to set the captives free. How long are you going to be living inside that thing? We call it flesh. and somebody is still dragging you by the nose, and you can't really do what God is calling you to do. God wants us to come out of this. That's what he died for. How do I come out of it? How do I come out of that? The same way you give your life to Jesus. What does that mean? The Bible says if we confess our sins and not blame it on anything else. The reason why we confess is because Jesus takes the blame on the cross. If I blame Bomati can save me. If I blame my brother, if I blame my sister, if I blame anybody, actually I'm saying, save me, deliver me. You are the reason. It's your fault. But if I come to Jesus and say, the cross, Lord, I have sinned. I am going through this loss. I'm going through this situation. I have fear in my heart. I have hatred in my heart. I can't get over this thing. You died for it. Please forgive me. Take it away from me. Set me free. If you do that with Jesus and you go to your neighbor that you're fighting with, says, I've sinned against you, against heaven and you, say, please forgive me, Christa. Whatever I did, please forgive me. My brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit, once you do your part, the Holy Spirit will come in a way you don't expect and do what he does best. He will set you free. Amen. But you have to yield to him. And the only way to yield to him is not to blame Eve or blame Adam. Anytime you blame Eve or blame Adam, the serpent is still in charge. But anytime you take responsibility, whether and say, Jesus, you see, the way we were set free, Jesus didn't come and say, oh, it's your fault. It's your fault. You know, he says, you can't come out. I take responsibility. I put on your sin. And he says, Father, forgive them. And that's how we got free. He still walks up till today because it's the same yesterday, today and forever. He came to seek and to save the lost, and he came to set the captives free. My brothers and sisters, inside of you, as a child of God, you have the righteousness of God. And if that's the case, you're back in that garden with the Lord, the presence of God. If that's the case, you believe what I'm sharing with you through scriptures, you have authority. If you can access God, he says, in my name. What does he mean in my name? It means he has given you authority to access. In my name, you pray this. In my name, you say this. Then heaven comes to your rescue. You don't kill Goliaths in your strength. You kill Goliaths by knowing you're a child of God. And you've been given access to use his name. And you believe it. And then you no more walk by sight. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is not by sight. God is a spirit. And inside of you is a spirit. So everything going on by sight, if that's what you base your hope on, if that's your limitation, the Goliath or whatever you're going through, no, you walk by faith. What is faith? You believe who you are now, and you believe the God who is now your Father. That's what restoration power is. Restoration power is the Holy Spirit is able to change you now if you're not born again and make you a child of God today. And if you're going through anything, if you confess it and surrender it to the cross, because the cross is the only place what is dead is surrendered. And the cross is the only place where the Holy Spirit causes you to be resurrected to what is righteous. That's where the exchange takes place. When you do that, the Holy Spirit does his part. So my brothers and sisters, whenever you think about, in those days they call it Easter in the book of Acts, we call it Resurrection Sunday. Anytime you remember this day, you remember these three things, the robe, the ring, and a new shoe, that means you have a new identity. Amen? And every time you remember that, this is what I'll challenge you. Take advantage of it. You might not kill Goliath, but you kill the bear. You might not kill Goliath, but you kill the lion. And you start now realizing you're not alone. You have a greater power. And you have a father who walks with you by faith. And by faith, there is nothing impossible. So this morning, as part of, you see, the kingdom of God is not just talking. If this morning by faith you received, you don't have to come out. But this morning, even where you're seated, you believed what you had this morning, you can be born again. And if you are backsliding or something has happened, the serpent has pulled you and convinced you. See that hook? Pull you out of God's presence. Pull you out of... Today is a day of restoration. If you're caged, you're in church, everybody sees the outside, but that cage is in your heart. Today, you can walk out of that cage. Because Jesus has never changed from setting the captives free. It begins with confession and surrender. So I want to pray with you. You don't have to come out where you are this morning as David prays. When we're talking about being pulled away from the presence of God, the biggest enemy of the presence of God is religion. It's the most subtle thing. You know what religion does? Religion makes you stay in church without the presence of God. The presence of God is not in this building. Everywhere you go, your Father is in your house. It's inside of you. Everywhere you go, he's with you. He's practicing a daily life of losing your orphan heart and gaining the heart of his sonship. My brothers and sisters, I can't lie to you. That's the process and the path God has been teaching me, and I found out it works. Today, I can look very simple, but there is no human being, no title can change my focus. I can see to the president, I can see to the poor man, he doesn't change who I am, because I'm this child of a king. I am not talking it, I believe it, I live it in my spirit. And that's who you are. You have a robe, you have a scepter, it's been given to you. You just have to believe your identity, and you have to walk by faith to experience it. If you're here this morning, the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to you. Wherever you are, you are in the Lord. I want to come out of this cage. And if you want me to pray with you, to agree with you, to release, you're welcome to come. But I tell you, the Lord is where you are right now. You and the Lord. Take a minute. If you want to come out, it's okay. Take a minute. Do I know who my Father is? This thing I'm struggling with. Take a minute. Am I blaming this, blaming that? Or am I taking responsibility? You and the Lord. Can kneel, you can whatever, but don't take this moment like you have arrived. That's pride, and it's very subtle. so I'm no longer Sakaba. Yes, Lord, you and the Lord. You and the Lord. Am I? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. You and the Lord. If you want me to pray with you, you're welcome to come out here. To prove to you, wherever you are, the presence of God is here. Clothed with righteousness. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Sin doesn't always mean the what we call sin.
Of God.